Hello, and welcome to the 5-Core Life Podcast with Will Moore, founder of More Momentum. If you're not already, go ahead and pound that subscribe button so you get notified when this is air every week. In today's episode of the 5-Core Life, host Will Moore sits down with Mike Ashabi, CEO of True Life Ventures and founder of the One Connection Network. Mike shares how he went from $30,000 in debt and suicidal to crushing it in two businesses with over 40 multifamily rental units in less than 2 years. We talk about the perils of being someone like Justin Bieber if you don't set up your life right, and his number one piece of happiness advice. A little bit more about Mike Ashabi. He's changing the game to provide better service to his clients through his two business pursuits, True Life Ventures, a consulting agency that specializes in life and business coaching, of which Mike is the CEO of, and his second business, the One Connection Network, a network Mike founded to create a convenience in the marketplace. The One Connection Network allows business owners and entrepreneurs to get things done all in one place rather than having to go to different resources, making the marketplace convenient. In one place, they have all the information and resources to do promotion, content creation, sales training, software, and anything else business owners need. Are you ready to fire on all cylinders? If so, let's go. Everyone has the same 5 core areas of their life that ultimately determine how happy they'll be. Unfortunately, most of us have developed failure habits in each, and it's Will Moore's mission to help replace those with success habits to maximize momentum. After exiting his business for a combined 9-figure sum, Will learned it's not just about becoming an entrepreneur of your career, but an entrepreneur of the most important business you'll ever run, your life.
What's up, man?
How we doing?
Doing great, bro. How are you doing?
Awesome, man. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on, brother. I appreciate you coming, and I was just kind of about to introduce you, but I wanted to wait until you were on. So you're doing some pretty great things. You've got True Life Ventures, which is a consulting agency specializing in life and business coaching. You've got the One Connection Network, allowing business owners, entrepreneurs to get things done in one place rather than having to go all over. I love that. It's such a hectic, chaotic world. Anywhere where you can help people find the information that they need with a one-stop shop without having to go here and here and here. And me personally, even now that I'm building a new business, it's very difficult and it's stressful. And then not only that, trying to find all these different people, but then making sure they mesh together, and then somebody has to leave, and then you got to fill that role. So welcome and tell us more about you and your companies.
For sure, man. So I started my company back in March of 2020. Before that, I used to work for a Grant Cardone licensee. And basically when I was working there, you know, I was putting in, you know, 15-hour days sometimes. So I started to realize, you know, I'm putting all these hours in for someone else's dream. You know, I want to do it for myself. So ultimately, you know, I didn't make as much money as I wanted there, but I got more value from the knowledge that I gained there, right? So I took everything I learned and applied it to myself and started my own business, and I created True Life Ventures, which is ultimately a life and business coaching company, as well as company sales training. So that's kind of how it all started. And while I was, you know, trying to acquire clients, I basically, you know, started getting connected with people in various industries, you know, people in the finance industry, entertainment industry, media, and real estate as well. I actually had a few connections with real estate beforehand because I started out wholesaling and then into rehabbing, and now we have about 51 units out in Pennsylvania. So
wow.
Ultimately,
yeah. What kind of unit? So are these single family? Are they multifamily?
Multifamily.
Nice. Wow. Good for you. And this all just started in a year ago?
Yes, sir.
That's some fast work. Well, that's a good lesson for people that, you know, you can move fast when you've done the homework, you've done the research. Like you said, you were just a sponge learning all these things and learning the right way to do them. So I always tell people, action, yes, it's very important. You got to take the action, otherwise you'll never get there. But there's the whole slow down to go fast part as well, where you want to make sure you're doing it the right way and you're not just bowling China shop straight ahead into the wrong direction.
You want my take on that?
Yes.
So there is no right way. Ultimately, I'm not even joking. Yeah, I've lost money. I lost about $300K on my tour that I did. I planned it 10 days beforehand. We did a 6-city national book tour for my book, Demanding Greatness. So, you know, we do lose money sometimes, but ultimately, it's trial and error process.
That's right.
quicker you make decisions, the quicker you invest, ultimately the quicker you're going to get results.
Love it. And that's exactly right. And that's probably even a better way to say it, because right, you don't even want to give people an excuse to be like, oh, well, I need to prepare. But the point is, you know, you need to learn and you need to gain knowledge and you need to use that knowledge. Don't just think you're going to be great and that you don't need to do any learning or figuring out the right ways to do things. That is a part of the process. But then, yeah, then you just go. You go full bore, and you're going to fail, and some things you thought were going to work didn't, and some things that you didn't think are going to work did, and then all of a sudden, right, you're cruising along, and you're failing, but you're failing forward, right? You're saying, okay, that didn't work. What happened there? And that's that growth owner mindset that I'm always talking about. It sounds like you definitely have, which is sort of, okay, I got everything within me. I know I can do this. Let's just go. I've got a goal. You know, I want to be here. It's not going to be a straight path, but we're going to get there one way or the other, and we're going to fail, and we're going to learn, and we're going to adapt, versus the fixed victim mindset, which is, oh, poor me. There's not really probably any way I could do this. Maybe I'll hit the lottery someday, or maybe somebody will give me an opportunity that will allow me to get there, but I can't do what those people are doing, right?
100%. I mean, it's also perspective. You know, I don't look at even the money that we lost as a loss. You know, I don't look at it as we failed, because ultimately we're getting, you know, the message out there. We got a lot of content from it, which we're utilizing now in order to, you know, promote and get more attention. We need to have marketing in place. Marketing is senior to sales, but ultimately it's perspective, because if you look at it as a failure, you're going to feel that, right? Your perspective ultimately dictates how you feel. How you feel dictates how you act, and how you act will determine the results. So if you look at it as, you know, okay, it's just part of the process rather than a failure, you're ultimately going to stay in that, you know, mindset to keep persevering.
That's exactly right. So I love that. And so did you have any partners on this? Did you do this by yourself? I mean, how did you raise capital? How did you go about that part of it?
So it's actually funny. After working for the Cardone licensee, I was about 30K in debt. I actually did not have any funds to, you know, even invest into any ads or even have any, you know, a website or any lead generation, right? So ultimately, I had to figure out how to generate warm leads through cold prospecting on social platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So I created this formula that basically my first month of business allowed me to generate 45.7K. My second month alone as a one-man team, 114.6K. And ultimately just started taking off from there.
Wow. Okay. So that's not your typical story. And I love hearing when things happen, but I want people listening, you know, I want them to understand the difference between overnight success, and which I'm sure you would agree with, because I don't think I've ever talked to somebody that just says, yeah, I was just sitting around one day and it just fell into my lap and wow, am I lucky, right? It was a process over many years that like you said, you were learning, you were growing, you were figuring things out. And then it was like, then when you went full speed, you know, it happened pretty quickly, but I doubt you'd call it an overnight success.
No, not an overnight success at all. So ultimately about 5 years ago, I hit my low point, right? And you know, if you would have seen me, you would have been like, who the hell is this kid? I had long hair, pierced nose, baggy clothes, skater snowboard kid, you know, smoking pot, doing drugs all the time. And it actually happened from a breakup, which ultimately, you know, led me to a place where I kind of didn't want to live anymore. So after I hit that point, I actually heard the words of Eminem, and he said, now I could have either sat on my ass and pissed and moan, or take the situation in which I'm in and get up and get my own. So that was like the spark right there.
I love it.
Ultimately, you know, started working for a tree removal company 6 days a week, and I'm a skinny dude, man. So imagine me picking up logs, climbing trees and everything, you know. And, you know, it was the first job I was taking serious. I would come home after 12-hour days, you know, start teaching myself finance, because I obviously knew that finances were, you know, my issue. I was broke, dead broke. And ultimately, you know, started reading a lot, learning about personal growth and development, applying it to my life, got connected, you know, with a financial firm in New York City, ultimately started working there as a financial consultant. And then one thing led to another, got connected to the Cardone licensee. And then that's really where I decided, hey, you know, I was at a certain point in my life and I want to be a voice for other individuals who are going through a similar thing, because I was actually talking to Evan Carmichael one night, and he told me this one powerful quote. And he said, your ruin is your gift to give back to the world. So what he means by that is what ruins you and puts you in your all-time low and you get through it is ultimately your gift to go seek out other individuals in a similar situation and help them get through it. And when I heard that, it was like, boom, I'm on target. This is exactly what I want to do.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Well, Evan Carmichael, Grant Cardone, like these are smart, wise people, right? And you know, it's the old adage is true. I always talk about these universal principles. Like they've been around since the beginning of time. They're going to be around till the end. You can't cheat the system. You can't fight it. Like you need to just learn to harness them and incorporate them into your lives. And one of these for sure is if you surround yourself with the people that you want to be like, it's gonna rub off. You're gonna start getting the things that you need to allow you to start taking those actions, to building the habits, to getting to where you want to be. And one of these huge things is also, you know, this whole giving back thing, right? So you start hanging around people that and you see what they're doing to give back. And then all of a sudden, when you start to evolve a little bit, which sounds like you got to a stage at, you're like, well, damn, I need to give back. Like, and it's cool how that works. Because when I feel like a lot of people, when they're not to the point where somebody like you has gotten to, well, they'll kind of scoff at the whole giving back thing, right? They're like, giving back? How about giving back to me? Like, my life sucks. Like, why would I give back? And I get that. And I don't try to say broad across the world, you know, you need to give back. And some people try. To me, it's like, yeah, work on yourself. Get to the point where you're starting to get that growth owner and that momentum going in your own life. And then you'll see it. And then once you do start giving back, that's when the magic happens.
100%. And you know what? I actually think a lot of people start with the mindset, you know, once I make it, I am going to give back. But then they get, you know, trapped by the money and they say, you know what, this is mine. And ultimately, here's the thing, though. The reason why they can't give it from the start, you know, they can give knowledge and stuff. But the reason why they can't give back, you know, whether it's donating to a charity or something, is that, you know, you can't give what you don't have. So you need to get in order to give, right? So when they get it, they ultimately forget why they even started, and then they don't end up giving back.
Well said. That's well said. So let's get into some, you know, habits are something that I like to talk about a lot. I feel like habits is a huge part of, you know, people's success. And I can guarantee you have, I call them success versus failure habits. I'm sure you have a lot of success habits and I'm sure you have some failure habits. Everybody does, including myself. Like it's just part of life, but that's why life is fun and interesting. Cause in order to growth is happiness. And if you were perfect and everything was great and you had $1 zillion and you were the best looking and you had the best girl, woman, it wouldn't matter. You'd be miserable. Because you're not growing. I just read an article on Justin Bieber yesterday that I think he did in GQ. I don't know if you saw it, where he said he was basically like suicidal and on drugs, and he had to have his bodyguards like as recently as a year or two ago when he married Haley Baldwin or Hallie Baldwin, whatever. Literally check his pulse in the middle of the night to make sure that he wasn't dead because he was taking so many drugs, and it's like. This is exactly what we're talking about. You look at somebody like Justin Bieber and you go, what? This guy's got it all. He's got the money. He's got the looks. He's like 22 years old. He's got the rest of his life. He's fame. Everybody wants to be like, what could you possibly be miserable about? Right. But that's not how it works. He said he felt like he got to a point where he was stagnant and he wasn't growing and he was stuck. And sure enough, he was miserable. It's another one of those universal principles. If you're not growing, you're dying. And now it sounds like he's figured out how to continue growing. But all the money in the world and all the fame ain't going to matter if you're not gaining that momentum.
100%. I always tell everyone, stop chasing the money and start chasing being a person of value. But ultimately, you know, the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, when it comes to success and having money and everything, it's not what's going to fulfill you, you know, feeling that value that you're providing to someone else and seeing that they're actually getting that value is what's going to fulfill you. Right. Because you know that you were able to contribute. But look at it like this, look at, you know, Robin Williams, you know, he made everybody else happy, but he forgot to make himself happy. So ultimately that's another thing that people have to realize is that don't forget about yourself through the process, because if you can't do it for yourself, how can you continue to do it for others?
Right. Which ties back to exactly what we were saying. Like, you got to kind of get yourself to a point where, okay, I'm happy with who I am and where I'm headed. Now I can bring others along with me. It's just part of how it works. Yeah, with Robin Williams, I will say a caveat. I 100% agree with the theme of what you're saying. I feel like he had some mental issues, which might have come into play. And so, you know, that's always a separate thing where it's like you don't know how much of it was mental issues and how much was it was just straight up, like you said. Like, but yeah, I mean, there's plenty of those fixed victims that they just poor me, and they don't they do everything but introspectively look at their own lives and how to make it happier. So 100%. I'm right there with you. So going back to the habits question, you know, what would you say, you know, are there some failure habits that you feel the old you had developed that was really stifling your growth and your momentum? And then do you feel like you were able, and what are some of the ones maybe now that you have that you feel like are propelling you and you are so glad that you adopted because you're killing it because you have them?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I'm still even working on to this day. It's I overthink a lot, but I think it could be a positive and a negative. You know, it's a good thing that I overthink because ultimately it allows me to analyze what's really going on and truly try to understand. But then it could also be a negative because, you know, when you're starting to analyze analysis paralysis, right? You don't, when you're, you know, looking at all the risk, then you start to hesitate. When you hesitate, you don't, you know, take action. So ultimately there's pros and cons to it, but ultimately what I just try to do is stay intentional and, you know, try to condition myself to just make decisions quick, take action quick, because if you don't do it in that moment, you're ultimately gonna, you know, wait till the time is right, but there's no right time. Ultimately, it's just like having a kid, right? You know, you have a kid, you're never ready mentally, physically, or, you know, financially or whatever, any aspect of your life. But then it just happens and it's the best thing that happened to you. So it's the same thing when you want to pursue your goals, you just got to do it. And it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Love it. Yeah, I it kind of goes with what we were saying earlier, but like just take the action, just do it. I'm right there with you. In fact, that's actually a habit that I have in front of me right now. As I said, we all have failure habits, including me, that I'm still working on, which is just taking the action versus motion is the way I put it. Like instead of just moving to move, like taking the action that's actually going to have results. Sometimes our fear gets us to the point where we convince ourselves that the actions we're taking are actually doing something, but really we're just treading in place and tricking ourselves into thinking that we're doing something to feel productive, but really we're just spinning our wheels.
There's a quote by, I think it's Denzel Washington. He says, don't confuse movement with progress.
What did he say?
Don't confuse movement with progress.
Yes. I love that. Movement versus progress. Okay, so overthinking's one, and now any ones that you would say you're really glad that you've developed in order to help you keep propelling yourself every day?
Ultimately, I don't watch TV. I'll tell you that. There's a lot of negativity on there.
That's a good one.
People don't realize that, like, you know, even if it's just in the background, you know, you're subconsciously programming yourself. It's still, you know, entering your mind, right? So it conditions you to start thinking that what you're consuming is reality, and then that actually becomes your reality because you subconsciously think about it, and what you think about is what you become because you're focused on it without even knowing. You know, that's why music is like a really big thing for me as well. You know, people don't even realize what they're listening to. If you listen to it, you know, there's a saying, and I actually found this out about 5 years ago. When you're happy, you enjoy the music. When you're sad, you understand the music. Mm. So when I hit that low point in my life, you know, I turned on my iPhone and I was listening to some music and I was like, what the hell am I actually listening to? Like, talking about like sluts, I'm sorry for my language, just, you know, girls.
Oh, no, don't worry about that.
Like all that stuff. And it's like, it's not life. It's not genuine. Like you got to be like really low for that stuff. Don't get me wrong. Some of it's really good. When it comes to rap, I try to listen to more motivational stuff, you know, like old school Eminem, you know, Biggie. But it subconsciously programs you and it becomes your reality. Even TV, books, whatever you consume. you consume it, it will consume you.
I think that's, those are wise words. You know, it's like you don't even realize what's happening, right? You're just subconsciously. Did you see The Social Dilemma on Netflix?
No.
That kind of ties into this, although this is an area that they didn't really talk about. But TV, yeah, just TV in general. Like, they talk about on social media how, like, you're not realizing it, but they're paying attention to what you're looking at, what you're clicking on, and then they're going to show you more of that. Whether it's for your wellness and happiness or not, you're going to start seeing more. And they use an extreme example where a guy broke up with his girlfriend, similar to sense, like, you know, you had a bad experience with that and he was really depressed. And then he like saw this group of like this hate group, and he clicked on it. And then all of a sudden he's getting gun ads. And then it like just like explodes into this, like at the end, he's like about to like, you know, get shot or get arrested by the police. And you're just like, wow, that can happen so easily without us even paying attention. And same with like the TV you read and watch and the news that you read, you're going to be consciously picking up that stuff for good or for bad. And especially with the whole bipolar, or it's not bipolar, but polarizing aspect, where it's like, it's a lot of people are using it to confirm whatever they already believe and be like, yeah, see, other people believe what I believe. And all, but the dangerous part is they're also going, and those other people, I knew they were wrong. And then it just spreads that hatred and that like, me versus you type vibe versus the kumbaya, let's all, you know, do it together and be happy, because that's what we're all here for.
100%. So I just want to touch on one thing, the reason why it actually becomes your reality without you even noticing it. So ultimately, you know, they always say what you surround yourself with is what you become. But you, it's the same exact concept when it comes to your internal environment. Whatever you consume, you're surrounding yourself with it, and that's naturally going to become you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I love that. Yeah. And so you are what you, just like we were talking about earlier, you are who you hang out with, right? That's a universal principle. What you read, what you consume, who you're around, your environment, that all is going to start to seep into your being. And that's what you're going to project. So you got to be real careful.
100%.
With all of those things, right?
100%.
So what's next for you and the businesses?
I mean, my ultimate goal right now is, you know, really just to get True Light Ventures to the point where I make it a little bit harder to get to me. We're going to bring on coaches very soon, you know, so this way I can kind of free up my time a little bit, and I want to expand the real estate portfolio. That's really, you know, the goal, because, you know, coaching, it's scalable to a certain extent. You have to have coaches in place. You have to have virtual programs, you know, and I want to continue getting my message out there, but, you know, my time is limited. Everyone only has 24 hours in a day. If I coached everybody one-on-one, you know, I still wouldn't even be able to reach every single person in the world, you know, with the time I have left on the planet.
Right, right. No, I hear you. Yeah, and so with real estate, are you focusing all over the world, just in the United States?
Just in the U.S. So ultimately, the units that I have in Pennsylvania, that was a really good deal. I don't really want to, you know, invest in any other properties up in the Northeast. There's only four states that I would consider investing in the future: Florida, Texas, Arizona, and Washington. Reason being is because the laws there actually favor the landlord rather than the tenant. So for example, in the Northeast, if you have a tenant that hasn't paid, you know, for, you know, they could be living in the apartment for 8 months not paying. In Florida, Texas, Arizona, and Washington, they have 30 days after they don't pay, and you can actually evict them and get someone else in there. So it's safer on the investor side, you know, for cash flow.
Very good, man. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I have a lot of rental property in Florida. I do single family homes. That's where I used to live. And so I still have about 10 of them there. And I totally agree. The laws are set up to, because it can get sticky otherwise. I mean, if you're a good landlord and you don't take advantage of it, the tenants can definitely get in and take advantage of certain things otherwise. So, all right, love it. Well, we're coming to the end here. Let's end with what would you say if there was one thing that you could say, put on a billboard, or, you know, it's the end of your life and you know, tomorrow's your last day, and you want to like just say one sentence, one phrase, one word, what would you want to put out there in the universe? What would be your billboard?
I don't know if I could just choose one, man.
You don't have to. It's a loaded question on purpose. So just you know, say whatever comes to your mind.
Number one thing, stop seeking external validation. Only seek internal validation. Because here's the thing. Look, a lot of people don't even realize that, you know, they're allowing their external environment to dictate what's going on internally, when in reality, if you can master the internal, you can actually influence your external environment around you. Right. Maybe not completely change it, but you can definitely impact it and influence it to move more in your favor.
Love that. That's a great, great, great. And I'm 100% in agreement. That's a great place to end it. Well, Mike, I appreciate you coming on, man. I'm going to reach out to you, DMs. I want to make sure, I think I've got your email and all that. I should, my team should, because I know they coordinated this. But I want to be in touch. I want to see if there's any, I always like to have synergy with people that I interview and talk with. So if there's any way I can help you, you know, just keep it going, man. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm super impressed with you. You're a young guy, and it took me a lot longer to figure out a lot of this stuff.
I appreciate it, man. And yeah, I'll also send you a DM with my number in it.
Sounds great, brother.
All right, brother.
All right, Mike. Appreciate you. Take care. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
That's it for today's episode of the Five Core Life podcast. If you have not already, please follow and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And of course, if you got a ton of value and you think someone else in your network might as well, share the podcast so others can enjoy. That's it. Now it's time for you to go fire on all cylinders. See you next time.
Get moving. Build momentum. Join the movement. Go to moremomentum.com to take a free life evaluator quiz on where you currently stand in each of your five cores.